VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Friends, we thank you for joining us here today on the program, and I think you'll find the information to be quite compelling. We are being propelled on so many fronts toward greater government control. I mean, we've got several issues we want to bring to the forefront today to keep you abreast on this multi-pronged effort to advance globalism. And what's behind it? What's propelling this? We're going to be taking a look at this push toward a cashless society. We're going to take a look at the big tech censorship that's going on, and also matters pertaining to the COVID jab. Those who are seeking to have forced vaccinations. Well, we've got a lot to unpack here this hour. With us, we welcome back to Crosstalk Gary Ka. Gary is the founder and director of Hope for the World. He's a former Europe and Middle East trade specialist for the Indiana State Government. Gary, nice to have you back here on Crosstalk.
Hey, as always, it's good to be with you, Jim. Thanks.
So, Gary, we are being told, in light of COVID, cash is dirty, and that we've got to advance toward a society without cash. And right now, we are witnessing venue after venue that will no longer take cash. It's happening in sports arenas, entertainment venues, and many other applications that just simply says no cash. Now, some such facilities are even removing ATMs, and I'd like to have you just give us an understanding of what is going on. Is this just simply a health issue here, or is there a bigger picture we need to be looking at, Gary?
Well, there is a bigger picture, but it's coming down. The public narrative is coming down from the WHO, the World Health Organization. Back on March 2nd, I believe it was, of last year, the WHO issued a call for people to refrain from using banknotes due to the possibility of the COVID-19 virus clinging to the surface of physical cash money. That kind of got it going. And from that time forward, the WHO has been encouraging digital and contactless point of sales. That's a term they're using more and more, contactless point of sales. They're encouraging that as an alternative method of payment in the name of reducing the chances of spreading the virus and getting the world all healthy. So this is all being done in the name of health, which makes sense from their standpoint. If you put yourself in their shoes and you were trying to force this agenda upon the world, what would be the best way to do it? You know, it's to convince people if you don't do this or that, you're going to help infect other people. You need to get on board and be healthy, and together we can all get through this. And so that's really what they're doing. But the central banks of many countries have been preparing for a switchover. I personally believe they've been ready for this for over 2 years. Some people believe they haven't quite been ready. I mean, the technology will always get better, you know, and improve, but really, I believe they've been there for a couple of years now, so they've just been waiting for the right moment to switch over. The global currency, the coming global currency system, will definitely make use of digital technology. It'll take the form, I believe, of an electronic monetary unit, utilizing distributed ledger crypto technology, which is readily available. What I cannot tell you is whether initially the emerging economic system will still utilize a number of different currencies and give them all different values somehow, but yet they're all electronic, or if there's literally going to be just one currency for the whole world. You know, so will it be a basket of currencies or a single global currency? That part I can't tell you, but some of the international banks have already been using a common currency to settle some of their accounts, and it's referred to as the SDR, Special Drawing Rights Digital Currency. This has been in motion for several years, so it's already being utilized. So it's just a matter of taking it public and the best way to do it. And if you think about it, why would people embrace a new global currency system especially if it's cashless, fully electronic, if they don't have a reason to do so.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if everything's okay the way it is, there's no reason for change. And so part of the strategy in all this, I believe, through the World Economic Forum and their allies, is how can they produce a scenario that will most easily bring people along to the point where they will willingly accept this. And to do that, you either have to collapse the current global economic system or have such a major threat of collapse that people think, okay, this is it. We've got to do something.
You know, Gary, this is absolutely amazing because, I mean, all of these things that you're talking about here, and that's why I just start laughing, because it's just so obvious what is seeking to be done here, as especially talking about the World Economic Forum, and isn't there something that they have been promoting called the Great Reset? I mean, that ties all this together? I mean, this is actually part of the plan and has been part of the plan.
Yeah, in fact, Klaus Schwab, who is the founder and current executive chairman of the World Economic Forum, wrote a book called COVID-19, The Great Reset. So just even in the title of his book, he sees COVID-19 as giving them the ability to launch all of this. The World Economic Forum has told us really what this is all about. To quote them, they say, there is an urgent need for global stakeholders to cooperate in simultaneously managing the direct consequences of the COVID-19 crisis. To improve the state of the World Economic Forum is starting the Great Reset Initiative. End quote. So people have to understand this is where it comes from. It's through the World Economic Forum and Klaus Schwab, and involved in the World Economic Forum are most of the key financial players of the world. The Bill Gateses, the George Soros, you know, all those people, the Vatican even has a representative going to it now. This is a powerful group. Schwab predicts that what he calls the Fourth Industrial Revolution will, and I quote, lift humanity into a new collective and moral consciousness, end quote. Transhumanism is going to be a big part of this transformation, they're saying, that comes with this Fourth Industrial Revolution, as artificial intelligence will surpass even the best human performances at specific tasks. These new technologies, according to Schwab, and I quote him, will not stop at becoming part of the physical world around us. They will become part of us. So you're talking about a complete entanglement, a merger between human DNA and the human ability to function and artificial intelligence working through us and interfacing with us. This is huge. A lot of money has been going into this. Now, to kind of summarize all this, I've got a quote I pulled from Archbishop Carlo Vigano. In Italian, I believe it's Vigano. I quoted him, I believe, on the last program we did together, but just a couple of paragraphs, because he talks about the Great Reset directly, and I think this is quite insightful. And again, I don't agree with him on all of his theology, but here's a man who sees what's been going on inside the Vatican with this current pope and became concerned enough that he's speaking out. Here's what he says. A global plan called the Great Reset is underway. Its architect is a global elite that want to subdue all of humanity, imposing coercive measures with which to drastically limit individual freedoms and those of entire populations. Behind the world leaders who are the accomplices and executors of this infernal project, there are unscrupulous characters who finance the World Economic Forum and Event 201, promoting their agenda. The purpose of the Great Reset is the imposition of a health dictatorship. Hidden behind tempting promises of ensuring a universal income and canceling individual debt, the price of these concessions from the International Monetary Fund will be the renunciation of private property and adherence to a program of vaccination against COVID-19 and what he calls COVID-21, promoted by Bill Gates, with the collaboration of the main pharmaceutical groups. Beyond the enormous economic interests that motivate the promoters of the Great Reset, the imposition of the vaccination will be accompanied by the requirement of a health passport and a digital ID. Those who do not accept these measures will be confined in detention camps or placed under house arrest, and all their assets will be confiscated. Now, he was writing this in an open letter to President Bush just a few days before the election. This letter was dated October 25th, 2020. Mm-hmm. So that's what he knew at that time. And then he also threw in, he said, saying this as a Catholic insider, he said, quote, "As is now clear, the one who occupies the chair of Peter has betrayed his role from the very beginning in order to defend and promote the globalist ideology, supporting the agenda of the deep church who chose him from its ranks," end quote. So he's saying here that the most powerful individuals of the Catholic Church and the hierarchy, they're fully on board. And I know, separate from this article that I was just quoting from, that the Vatican has sent representatives to the World Economic Forum. They're on the same page, working together on all this. And specifically, the Pope's side of all this is really promoting the environmental agenda, the climate change part of it, which they're going to use to try to change some of the laws and enforce international laws and treaties through the UN on that. But it all ties together. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to throw this in there to give people a bit of a bird's eye perspective and overview of the broad scope of all this.
Yuri Khan is with us here today. And ladies and gentlemen, it was late May. I saw a news article on Western Journal, and it was reporting that the U.S. Mint was citing a global silver shortage, and as such, was postponing pre-orders for the Morgan and Peace silver dollars here in 2021 that were originally scheduled for June 1st. Had some other delays that they were announcing as well, but they stated that the demand for silver remains greater than supply. Reality is such that not everyone will be able to purchase a coin. I found that interesting, Gary. Understand that Visa International filed for a patent for a digital unit assumed to be used in concert with their credit and debit cards. It was a patent applied for with a published date of May 14th, 2020. And on one part of this application, it says, quote, "The removal of the physical currency from circulation includes physically destroying the physical currency." I mean, talking about a push to get rid of cash, it's there.
Yeah, it's quite open, and not just the physical paper money, but also I think the powers that be realize, okay, if they get rid of the cash, people will be trying to barter. They'll be using silver and gold coins along with maybe a few other items. So they're already closing in on that, and so they're a smart bunch, but they're also very wicked and controlling. And so we, as Christians, we need to be very discerning in the days ahead regarding all of this, but especially on the spiritual side of things.
Right.
But to be able to function, all of us, we have to be able to function in daily life. And so we do need to carefully plan ahead as best as we can. I still believe at present, having some silver and gold coins, at least for a time, may come in very useful for bartering.
We're going to take a quick break here. Gary Kahn with us. And folks, we're going to have a couple thoughts here on some digital currency issues that are in the news that we'll be talking about, as well as we're going to be looking at what is the link here with some of the moves to force the jab, force the so-called vaccinations here as well. Back in a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, anything new found in outer space recently?
Chris, there's always something new. Recently, the Hubble telescope located several giant gaseous planets orbiting around burned-out stars. Now, gaseous planets are not strange. Jupiter, Neptune, Saturn, they're all large and gaseous, so that's not a problem. What is a problem is that the Big Bang Theory dates these at 12.7 billion years old. This, according to the theory, is much too soon after the Big Bang to have formed the heavy elements which are present. They just don't know what they're going to do. Well, I don't know what they're going to do either. But I do know what they should do. They should give up the Big Bang Theory because it's wrong. It doesn't fit the evidence. There's got to be a better way. And there is such a way. It's found back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Gary Ka is our guest today. His website, GaryKa.org. And Gary, as you were reading that letter from the Cardinal Vigano, you had mentioned President Bush, but that's not what you meant.
No. It was an open letter to President Trump, sent out on October 25th, 2020. But I said Bush accidentally. Sorry about that.
Oh, no problem. But very, very eye-opening what he wrote there. I'd like to enter in our topic here further on this digital currency. And I saw an article on the Daily Signal, and it said this: imagine a currency that can expire or that the government can require citizens to use only for specific purchases. Imagine no further, because that's the power the Chinese government holds through its newly tested digital currency. China's digital currency is backed by China's central bank, but unlike traditional bank accounts, users cannot withdraw physical cash. The Chinese government has the power to direct the way users spend the money or how quickly they spend it, because the currency is fully digitized. The money is accessible through an app or users' phones. And the story goes on, but the point, Gary, is that with a digital currency, whether it be China or any other nation, hence also comes the control, and there's knowledge of every single transaction that is made, but also it can have a controlling aspect as well.
That's right. You're looking at a complete loss of personal privacy. I mean, they know every move. Anything that involves a transaction, how would we pay babysitters or a kid cutting our lawn or whatever if there's no physical cash anymore? Mm-hmm. Apart from bartering, everything's going to have to be electronic. You know, people would have to have, at the very least, a smartphone that they can transfer their cash through somehow. That's where it's going. That's where China is at now. They're really in the lead as far as implementing this, not necessarily technologically. The technology is even ahead of where China is, but as far as actually implementing it and experimenting with it, they're there. So if you want to know what's coming, look no further. China, of course, also has the social credit rating, right, the SCR, which monitors people's habits. And if your habits are not in line with what the government wants, you get negative marks. You get docked. And that determines then a lot of other factors. If you get enough bad marks, you know, they crack down on you and limit your freedoms. And so this is Big Brother, 1984, completely in play now, and it's spreading around the world. They're experimenting in parts of Africa, which you would think Africa, not being as technologically advanced, but because the media is not as active in Africa, they can do things over there without the rest of the world knowing about it. And so they're doing things in Africa with these vaccines and digitized currency, digital ID, that kind of thing, experimenting there as well. So here in the U.S., there's a good percentage of the American population that is finally waking up, that is pushing back on this. Mm-hmm. But if it wouldn't be for that, Jim, honestly, I think we'd be pretty close to where China's at now. And we're sliding in that direction still. But hopefully enough people will wake up and put pressure on their elected officials to stem the tide on this. Because when this comes in full force, privacy is gone, period.
Yeah, and Gary, you warned previous about, for some time, about this cryptocurrency system using body cavity, this patent, what was it, WO2020, and then it was 06, 06, 06?
Yeah, I mean, they've got several patents that, it's interesting, the numbers of the patents, to say the least, and Gates has been involved at the forefront of a lot of these patents and technology. But even there, it's interesting, in the last month or two, Gates has been just a little bit more in the background, because enough has been written and said about Gates now that I almost wonder if the top globalists see him as becoming a bit of a liability. I'm not saying he can't still be used by him, but that's how they operate. If a lot of negative attention is drawn to one person, they take a bit of a different route. So I'm watching that closely, because Gates has been a key player in all of this from the technology standpoint and what he's been pushing. But really at the top, financially speaking, in this country. It has been the Rockefeller-Carnegie complex of trusts and foundations that have really been the main driver. It's been that way for years and years, and I think they're still, to a large extent, in the driver's seat. And even organizations like Gavi, G-A-V-I, the Global Alliance of Vaccines and Immunizations, you know, you've had Gates heavily involved in that, but also the Rockefeller Foundation. Mm-hmm. So they've been side by side in a lot of this. And if you follow the money trail, it will tell you who's really pushing this, and it takes you all back to these players who are linked in with the World Economic Forum that's kind of the boots on the ground in implementing all of this.
Well, it's very interesting because just July 19th, I saw the headline from Western Journal, and here's the headline, George Soros and Bill Gates just teamed up to buy a COVID company. This is high-profile billionaire George Soros and Bill Gates are part of a group that is buying a company that makes rapid COVID-19 tests. The purchase of Mellogic Limited was announced by Open Society Foundation, which Soros founded. But Gary, I'd like us to couple this with what's happening with this cashless and society, so to speak, and going electronic and all that's happening there with the COVID shot right now, because there are those who are stating that and I'm quoting them, the unvaccinated should be denied health care. There are those who are saying unvaccinated teachers and children should be denied entry into schools, and that the unvax should be denied entry into sporting events, entertainment, public venues, restaurants, even the workplace. And there was one opinion writer, this is Michael Stern, that wrote in USA Today. He said, it's time to start shunning the vaccine hesitant, and indicated that proof of vaccination should be required to work, to play, to travel. And then Kathleen Sebelius, just the former Health and Human Services Secretary under Obama, just had an interview on CNN's Out Front program talking about Americans should not be able to allowed to work or have access to children, be limited to where they're allowed to go, and compared to those who haven't received this jab to just compared it to like secondhand smoke and its danger upon other individuals. So what we've got at work here is this mechanism in place to have this all electronic finances somehow to be coupled together with a record of who has received the jab and who has not.
No, you're absolutely right. And again, this is coming down, being implemented with help from the World Economic Forum and their key players, through the UN, through the World Health Organization, and fanning out from there. It's just a matter of how quickly it will unfold and how much resistance they encounter. I wrote here as a summary. I tried in my own words to summarize what's taking place, and this is what I came up with just before the program. The pandemic and vaccine are the pathway to a mandatory digital ID that will be necessary to buy or sell or do just about anything. The vaccine will be required to live on Earth. Through it, everyone will be tracked and controlled. It will be in your body, and you won't be able to get rid of it once you take it. And so really what it boils down to is there's a merger of technology, ID, the digital ID, together with the vaccine itself being promoted in the name of health, everyone having to have this so that they can't infect anybody else and be detrimental to other people's health. That will be the argument. And, interestingly, in Austria, when Hitler first began to round up the Jews, you know what he told people, the Austrians? He said, the Jews have a disease. They need to be isolated or else they'll get the rest of us sick. And So early on, some Austrians who were not anti-Semitic, they fell for that, and they thought, well, we need to distance ourselves from the Jews. This is something necessary that the government has to do to protect us. And I'm a student of history. History has a way of repeating itself, and you see the same trend now beginning already to surface here, that those who don't take the vaccine, they're going to be the cause of everyone else's sickness. Therefore, they'll need to be isolated, ostracized, and strongly influenced to take, to take this this vaccine, and if they don't, then they'll be removed from society.
We're hearing that kind of rhetoric coming from the White House right now.
Yeah, exactly. And the fact that we have about a year and 4 months until the midterms gives the globalists extra cause to move as quickly as they can. because right now, here in the U.S., they control the main levers of power. They largely control Congress, the presidency. The Supreme Court is not as strong as all of us wanted it to be. There are some in there that are more liberal than we think. And then in the states, a lot of this is unfolding on a state by state basis. Of course, California and New York, you know, seem to be at the forefront. You've got other states like Florida and Alabama and South Dakota that are pushing back. So it will be very interesting to see how all of this unfolds in this country. And I believe, Jim, it will be to an extent on a state by state basis. And at some point, you wonder if it's actually going to turn into major civil unrest. I mean, we've seen that last summer for various reasons. What happens if the federal government tries to force this vaccine on people in certain states where a majority of the people are resisting it? You know, at what point does armed conflict start? And that's a very scary thought, but I don't think we're all that far away from that point. We could be reaching that within the next year or so. So we at least need to be prayerfully considering our options and what each of us would do under those circumstances. You know, are we going to take the vaccine? Are we not going to take the vaccine? I personally believe, and I don't know if I have time to go into this before the break, but I believe this vaccine is simply going to be the launching pad. They need to get this into everybody, the mRNA vaccine, because I believe it's going to serve as a platform for additional things that they want to put in us down the road. In fact, right now I'm looking in front of me a hard copy that I downloaded from Moderna's website. Moderna, of course, being the second company that came out with the mRNA vaccine, and I'm quoting from them. Under the subtitle, Our Operating System, they say, and I quote, recognizing the broad potential of mRNA science, we set out to create an mRNA technology platform that functions very much like an operating system on a computer. It is designed so that it can plug and play interchangeably with different programs. In our case, comma, the program or app is our mRNA drug, the unique mRNA sequence that codes for a protein, end quote. So, again, from the globalist standpoint, they want to get these initial so-called vaccines, they're really gene therapies, into people because they can then build on them. This is a whole new technology, unproven, unused before, but they want to get it in everybody before people can discover what it's really all about. And again, you have to look at the money trail and who's helping to fund these vaccines. And last time I knew, Gates himself, who's a globalist and has been involved in promoting eugenics, his father was on the board of directors of Planned Parenthood. You know, he's been at the forefront of funding these vaccines. And he even donated $10 billion to the World Health Organization 11 years ago and said, we're going to make this the decade of the vaccine. And they have. They've done that. So to have somebody now who's been involved in eugenics now come to the forefront and say, he's wanting to produce these vaccines to save the lives of everyone on the planet, that doesn't add up. I mean, that alone would be a reason for me to not want to take the vaccine, just to see who's involved in funding all of this.
Friends, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to bring one other dynamic into our interview today, and that is what is going on to this stopping of what is being called health misinformation. I mean, they're talking about banning people completely from all social media platforms if they don't meet such guidelines. We'll be back in a minute with more here on Crosstalk.
Year after year, generation after generation, we as Americans enjoy the right and opportunity to let our voices be heard through the election of our governing officials. With over 200 years of peaceful transition from one elected body to another, the stability of America's republic stands alone among nations. Our founders pledged their life, their fortune, and their sacred honor in the establishment of this nation. Our country's founding documents have guided this nation and are the substance by which today's laws are judged. Do you own a copy of the Constitution? Documents of Freedom is a pocket-sized booklet containing the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and all other amendments passed. The booklet also features the Declaration of Independence and Washington's Farewell. Documents of Freedom is available for a donation of $5 or more to VCY America and can be made by calling 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829.
Critical information coming your way today on Crosstalk on the VCY America Network. Gary Ka is with us here today. He is founder and director of Hope for the World. Just before we go on with some further information, Gary, I know you have a newsletter you put out, and listeners are able to subscribe to that. Tell us how it works.
That's right. Our research news journal is called Hope for the World Update. It's a 20-pager. It's quarterly, fully documented. We usually have about 10 different articles in there. I typically write the lead article, and it's full of information that people need to have in their hands to be able to be discerning on all this type of information. So we try to allow the Lord to lead us in, you know, because there's so much to write on these days with everything going on, but we try to be on the cutting edge and really give people the information that they need to know.
And they sign up, subscribe to it through GaryCod.org?
That's correct. Just go to our website. By the way, we have a brand new website up. We just overhauled it, and just go to GaryKaah.org, GaryKaah.org, and you can subscribe to it there.
Gary, as you know, there's this huge push that's going on that is warning the public here, the American public, about the threat of what they call health misinformation. We've got the U.S. Surgeon General and the Rockefeller Foundation announcing big initiatives to address the urgent threat of vaccination information, misinformation, I should say. And this is a report that came out last Thursday. It's really an advisory warning the American public about the urgent threat of health misinformation and disinformation that have what they call threatened the U.S. response to COVID-19 and continue to prevent Americans from getting vaccinated, prolonging the pandemic and putting lives at risk. They are saying that those who are talking, just like you're talking here, that Gary, you're putting lives at risk by the things you're saying here today.
Yeah, it's amazing. Any narrative except theirs is false. It needs to be canceled. That's what they're doing. It's an all-out frontal assault on freedom of speech. It's unprecedented in this country. Mm-hmm. And that's the first thing that socialists do. That tells us that we're already now being run by socialists in our country. It's not future tense. It's in place. And they're trying to push as far as they can, as quickly as they can, before the midterm elections, because right now they can get away with it. And so expect more pressure being applied in every way possible. But what do they do if they can't get more than 50 or 55% of people vaccinated? Because people are waking up now, because there are many credible doctors, not just a handful, who've begun speaking out and writing on this now. And some of them associated with America's Frontline Doctors, which you can go to their website, AmericasFrontlineDoctors.com, I believe, it or .org. It was .com. They changed it to .org, I believe. But other just independent doctors. One of them, his name skips my mind right now, but he was the former director of epidemiology at Yale University, has come out and talked about the fact that, you know, when you've got essentially cures out there for this virus, but the same people pushing the vaccine are trying to prohibit doctors from giving out those treatments, you have to ask questions. You know, why are they doing that? Hydroxychloroquine works very well early on, and ivermectin, it's incredible. I believe that over 90% of the people who have died from this virus, probably their lives could have been saved if they would have gotten on one of those treatments early enough. But that's not part of the plan. And so what I'm suggesting is that this actually is a very evil plot, because those driving this narrative understand very well that enough people have to get sick from this virus and die from this virus so that they can implement their agenda, which includes this digital ID and a cashless society, because without that, people aren't going to go for it. And so they've literally threatened doctors, done everything they can to keep doctors from prescribing ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, and other treatments to their patients. In fact, I had, as you know, Jim, after I did the tour with you folks last October,
yes,
I came back, and within a few days, I had COVID. I came down with it for 11 days. I was pretty sick. I ran a fever of 101 to 102 most of the time. I contacted some local doctors trying to get one of those treatments. And one of them very openly said to me, I could get in so much trouble if I did that, and he chose not to. And I also have been told that in some cases pharmacists are playing the police. If certain doctors do prescribe all of a sudden more than a normal amount of ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine, they're contacting the doctor saying, what are you doing? And so, it's to that point. And so why? If these things work, why not give them to people? So what? We don't have a choice but to conclude somebody up there wants people to die and get really sick from this to keep this narrative going in front of people. If they wanted to cure it, it could be over in a matter of weeks if they gave everybody hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin. Ivermectin is great except for people that have liver problems, I believe. Beyond that, it's a well-proven drug, as is hydroxychloroquine. And even Dr. Fauci years ago was quoted, talking about the merits of hydroxychloroquine and how great it is. And now suddenly it's the last thing you want to do. So think, people. I just need to say think. Use common sense and allow the Holy Spirit to give you discernment on these matters. Don't believe everything you hear. Do your own research and then make the right decision.
And friends, keep in mind the push that is going on for the censorship. We just had the White House press secretary, Jen Psaki, talk about if one is banned, you know, we need to get together on this. Basically, if you're banned from one social media platform, you need to be banned from all social media platforms, and talking about, you know, how they need to work, you know, together with other social media in order for this to take place. I mean, folks, again, we need to wake up to what is being said here. And just to tie all these loose ends together, and as Gary began talking, it's part of the plan of the Great Reset, and it's an open document. You can go check it out for yourself. World Economic Forum, Great Reset. You'll find the programs we did with Alex Newman on this. Tom DeWeese has spoken on this. Lord willing, Tom DeWeese being back with us soon. But folks, these are the issues that are before us. Our phone number to Crosstalk today is 800-733-9829. Gary, by revealing all these things today, I know this is, you do not want to convey a spirit of fear in this, do you?
That's right. No, never. And in fact, the people that need to be most afraid are those propagating this agenda. And we need to pray for them, and I mean that sincerely, because the worst thing that could happen to us ultimately is that we'll be persecuted for not falling in line with what they want us to do. And I believe, unfortunately, that day is coming, but we should not be fearful over that. We would not be the first generation of Christians and conservative Jews in world history who've been persecuted. The worst thing that can happen is, you know, that we die for our faith, and then we're with the Lord for eternity. We're in His care. What happens to those people pushing this narrative who know exactly what they're doing and preventing people from getting these treatments to drive a narrative, to push this one world agenda forward? Some of these people being involved in the occult and Eastern mysticism, who have basically sold their souls to the devil, they're going to have to face God at the judgment at the end, and they're going to spend eternity in hell. And I'm not saying that lightheartedly. This is very serious, and we shouldn't wish that upon our worst enemies. So we need to pray for these people. Those who've been completely influenced by that narrative, many of us have relatives and friends that are just buying into it hook, line, and sinker. We need to do what we can to inform them as tactfully as possible. We don't want to intentionally make them angry, because a lot of people have short fuses on this right now, but pray for wisdom to the Lord, that the Holy Spirit would move us at the right time to say the right things and put the right information in front of people, so that it will lead them, hopefully sooner rather than later, to making the right decisions on all of this. But it's up to us. We're the salt and light. We're God's ambassadors in this world. And we've all been given a godly mandate to speak the truth in love, as long as we're on this earth. And so, and the Bible tells us to pray for those who persecute you. So it's, you know, these are difficult times, yes, but times to be fearful, no. Times to be bold, and know that God is with us, and he will never leave us or forsake
Amen.
Us. And we
Amen.
Have to dwell on that daily.
Our lines are packed here this afternoon. Gary Ka is with us. And folks, again, and we don't have time to get into this, but Gary's been with us before. You can look at previous interviews. Even with Bill Gates funding this development of this under-the-skin vaccine history storage system with a specialized dye, the quantum dot issue, it is... the whole matter is one you need to look at as well. But lines are packed. Time is short. Let's get to Arkansas. Randy, you're on the air. Hello, Randy.
Yeah, great program. Just a comment that, you know, it's really amazing how many Christians, or they call themselves Christians, have fallen for the whole pandemic and what's going on. Are we just, are pastors and leaders or what, Christians in general, just not knowing the Word of God and not praying and, you know, just doing
Randy,
their own
I
thing?
I would say there are a number of Christian doctors out there, quite a few Christian doctors. Most of our churches, if they're big enough, we have at least one or two doctors in them. Many of them have taken a back seat. Some of them are taking a stand, but not enough. They've taken a back seat because a lot is at stake, possibly even their careers and reputation, and they're feeling the heat from the top down. And unfortunately, I saw a survey a few years back. I can't remember the exact number, but I think it was 78% is what comes to mind, of medical doctors voted liberal in the last presidential election. And this was the one before the most recent one. And so the more education people have, the more university training, which, of course, all doctors do, the more liberal they become on the social side of things as well. That's just a fact. And so, unfortunately, a majority of medical doctors in our country today, I believe, are on board with this agenda. They themselves have bought into it, hook, line, and sinker, and those who haven't are afraid to speak up because of what it may cost them. And so you only have a small minority of doctors who've been bold enough to speak out, and we need to applaud them and respect those people because they're really sticking their necks out.
Thank
but
you.
I believe that's a big part of it. And so people in our churches, they're listening to these doctors. They say, well, so-and-so, he took the vaccine, and he's telling me I should do the same thing, and then they're going to do it, and it just spreads, especially among the elderly who are fearful of, you know, what might happen to them if they don't take the vaccine. So I think that's at least part of the problem.
Yeah, Gary, thank you, Randy, for the call. Gary had mentioned the America's Frontline Doctors. There's also another group called the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons that have taken some strong positions on this
yep.
aspect and warning as well. Their website, aapsonline.org. We're going to Julie next in Pensacola, Florida. You're on the air, Julie.
Very close friends who are elderly, and the man has a bad case of COPD, and he was getting worse towards the end of his life, and he fell in his, and during the doctor visits, by the way, they would regularly get their COVID tests, and they never had it, and so it always came back negative. Then one day he fell in his bathroom, and she thought, well, maybe we better go to the hospital because you're very weak. And so they went to the hospital, and they got him, you know, stabilized, but they knew that he wasn't going to make it. So the nurse came in to the room and said, I need to take a COVID shot, even though they all know that it was negative, but they took it anyway. And he passed away that the next day from the COPD, of course. And they claim on the death certificate that it was COVID that took his life.
My.
So therefore, the hospital's getting money. They're taking advantage of the elderly people.
Thank you, Julie. I've got to leave it there. We're up against a break. Back in a minute. This is Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Well, the Rockefeller Foundation, they're at it again. This is an organization that I've documented for years has been proponents of eugenics. And even according to numerous reports, we're working inside the Hitler regime with some other camps. The Rockefeller Foundation is now going to work with the U.S. Surgeon General under the Biden regime to, well, deal with what they believe is vaccine misinformation. Again, this is psychological projection, putting on to their enemies what they actually do. The misinformation about the vaccine starts with the word vaccine. This COVID-19 emergency order doesn't even meet the legal definition of a vaccine. And as of today, we have over 11,000 Americans dead, according to the government's own VAERS reporting system. Who's putting out the misinformation? The Surgeon General, the government, or people like me?
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Julie just called in from Pensacola, Gary, and gave the scenario of what unfolded there. And I see there have been some counties, I believe it was Alameda County, California, that recently had done some re-examination and said, oh, you know, there's close to 25% of those that they said who had died of COVID. They found out they died from it. They died with it. In other words, there was some other compelling reason that really took their life.
Yeah, a lot of hospitals around the country, especially in New York, early on, I mean, if a person had any trace of COVID in them, they put that down as the cause of death, which stacked the numbers, helped drive this narrative, and brought in more money for the hospitals. So a lot of this has been found out, though, so I think it's not maybe as extreme now as it was. It may still be taking place some, but early on, it drove the numbers up very quickly.
Friends, Gary Kaa is with us today. If you missed his web address, be ready to jot it down. We will give it out before the end of the program. And I also want to say this. We've got a lot of information that we've been unpacking this hour that if you'd like to, we would encourage you to, within a couple hours, this will be posted at our website, crosstalkamerica.com. Get a link to it and send the link to others. In addition to that, we would suggest that if you want hard copies, CD copies, call our switchboard at 800-729-9829. 800-729-9829 and just say, yeah, I'd like to get a CD copy of today's program. Or people get multiple copies in order to share the information with others as well. Let's go to Salina, Kansas. Russell is calling you on the air.
Thank you for taking my call, Jim. Have you been hearing about the people that are saying that they're going to use the jabbers and the non-jabbers to create civil unrest to interfere with the next year elections? And what do you think about that, if you heard that?
Thank you, Russell, and for the call here. And this really heightens, you know, our recent interview with Bill Federer that talked about the goal or in the methodology of socialism, which leads to communism, that civil unrest is all part of this, pitting one people against the other people to create even false flags in order to bring about this harmony for government to come in and be the savior. And Gary, that's what we're really witnessing, is to build this unrest and division among people.
That's right. Yeah, if you look, everything that the mass media has done over the last few years, if you get right down to it, it simply causes division. It divides the country. It takes us from being strong as a unified people to being completely divided and at each other's throats. And we see that unfolding. That greatly concerns me. And it may actually get to the point of great civil unrest, borderline civil war. I certainly hope that doesn't happen. But this is, I believe, what they're pushing. Anything to bring our country down. If they can't convince people to come around and do all of this voluntarily, then their next step is to cause some type of upheaval from within. And, of course, that's when we're weakest as a nation. If foreign enemies want to overrun us or the globalists want to force their agenda on us, that would be the time for them to do it.
Mistrusting one another. Start reporting on one another. It's all part of the plan. Thank you, Russell. We're going to Mark in Monroe. You're on the air, Mark.
Yes. My question is this. What's your opinion on Rand Paul's recent confrontation with Anthony Fauci in regard to the vaccine controversy? Yeah. Personally, I fear the deep state media will make the weak Republican Party buckle at the knees and end up caving in.
You know, Mark, I know a lot of people have not heard that, but Lord willing, on Friday's Crosstalk program, we're going to air that exchange that took place. I don't know if you heard it or not, Gary.
I did. Rand Paul was right on, and I don't think he's going to back down. But a lot of conservative Republicans are going to have to put their necks on the line now. They're not going to be able to dance around and play one side part of the time and partly the other side when it helps their careers politically or not. They're going to have to take a stand one way or the other, and then we'll see what they're really made of.
Thank you, Mark. And again, Lord willing, tomorrow we'll be able to play that audio. West Dallas, Wisconsin, Brad, you're on the air.
Hey, Brother Jim. People out there need to remember a couple of salient points. The FDA approval for these fake vaccines does not exist, and there hasn't been a whole lot of testing. So when they say it's safe and it's effective, even if it were safe, there's no way they could possibly know it. And if it's effective, why are they always talking about booster shots? If it was effective, it wouldn't need them.
And how is it that those who have it are really getting a large number of cases of COVID?
Oh, yeah.
Right.
And they say
these are experimental gene therapies. That's what they are. And under no previous circumstances would people have been expected to fall in line and take this and for it to be forced upon us the way it is. And I just want to make one other comment. I forgot to mention it earlier when we were talking about social media and how they're all falling in line. Every one of the owners of the major social media companies that I'm aware of pushes socialism. So that tells you right there, politically, they're in the bag on all this. So we shouldn't expect anything differently.
And Brad, we just heard from President Biden this week, who's indicating that he is looking to September, October-ish for that final approval to be coming from the FDA.
Yeah. And meanwhile, it's killing people right now. And they say it saves lives. And the people saying that it saves lives are themselves in favor of abortion. It's generally the same crowd. So if they wanted to save lives, all you had to do was ban abortion.
Thank you, Brad.
Thank you.
Courtney in Miami, Florida, you're on the air.
I want to say this right fast. You stole part of what I was going to say. Saints, it's time to stop talking about one another, but order these CDs and hand them out to people so they'll know what's going on. Hmm. Because just yesterday I was threatening Walmart. That show how edge people are on. But we want to know, let people know that Christ can save.
Amen.
That's what we want to do instead of talking about one another.
Hmm.
Amen.
Strong.
Amen, brother.
We're going to endure to the end, saints. Hmm. God bless you now. Watch over your children.
Thank you, Courtney. Our guest here today, Gary Ka, and again, his website, GaryKa.org. Ka is spelled K-A-H, GaryKa.org. He does have a quarterly a newsletter that is by subscription that's through his site. You can find the information there. You'll find some other articles on the site there. And also contact our switchboard here to obtain copy CDs at 800-729-9829. Gary, thank you so much for the investigation and sharing the information with our listeners here.
Jim, thanks. Thank you. Always a pleasure.
And again, with a reminder, let's keep our eyes on Jesus. Gary Ka with us here today on Crosstalk. And friends, it's vital information, and we thank you for staying with us through the program today to inform you on critical issues. And we trust that you'll take information that you've learned to share with others as well. God bless you. Thanks for listening today to Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.